Good morning, Masech Ba Metzia, Daf Sabachay. We're starting on the Amud. So we are about seven lines into the Amud, where we just saw that Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi, it was Rabba who said to Rav Yosef Bar Chama, right? Rav Yosef Bar Chama, his father, about taking the slaves and making them work. He said, no, I'm doing them a favor. He said, that's all very nice. That's unique to the one particular slave who was like a guy who was a bit of a joker. But as a rule, if they owe you money, you're charging them ribbit. And eventually he agreed, and he ended off in the Gemara and said, Amale Hadri B. Said to his son, you're right. Accepted that it wasn't the right behavior. And he said he's stopping to do it. Now the Gemara is going to bring a couple of machlokotcha between Abaye and Rava. So I just checked again myself before the sugya, the machloket Rava and Abaye. Now we know that halacha as a rule is like Rava. We saw already in this Masechta, I think twice, Ya'el Kagam, right? We were the six halachas where the halachas like Abaye, it's worth going through one more time. So Ya'el is Ye'u Shalom Da'at, which we had in our sugi over here. Rabbi had a couple of daf ago that if a person's lost something and you know that when he finds out that he's lost it, he's going to be Mityaesh, but he doesn't know yet that he's lost it, right? So he hasn't yet been Mityaesh. The halacha is like Abaye, not like Rava, and you can't take it. Right? That's Yerushalmida. And the halacha is like Abaye. And what I discovered in the six items is that in five of them, we see that actually it's like Abaye Lechumra. So first, he has one Lechumra. The second one was Yayush. Then was Eid Zomem. Right? With Eidim Zomemem. Then we never saw that in our sugya. Then we had lechi shomed shelo ba'atzmo, that if you a lechi on Shabbos, if you're using a lechi, whatever, so do you have to put it there? If something was already standing, can you use it as a lechi? That's the one exception where the halacha is like Abaye, where it's lekula, you can rely on the lechi, but you have to be aware of it before Shabbos. You can't on Shabbos really have to be aware before Shabbos. That was Yael. Then we had kiddushin shelo nitenet lebia, and we learned that as well, right? So that's another one. That if you, for example, if you marry two sisters and you're not sure which sister you married, the kiddushin is chal according to Abaye. You have to have a get from both of them, so it's a chumra as well. That was kiddushin. Then what was the gimel? Gilui daat. What was the third one? Somebody help me. And that was gilui daat. Yael kagam. That was gilui daat. What was that? Gilui daat. Gilu dat beget. If a person gave a get and then he shows that he's upset or the get got lost or whatever, or the shliach is late and he's excited, is that a sign that he wanted to cancel the get? Right? And the halacha like Abaye, the get's not cancelled. And then the last one was a mumar lahachis. If a person who is eating the Vedas or whatever the case was, does an aveira, and his whole idea is lahachis. Right? Is he pasul from Eidut? And Abaye says, yes, he's pasul from Eidut. Now, why was I interested in checking all those things out? Because we started over here with a couple. Then we saw another inyan in our Masechta as well. If you remember a couple of daf ago, we had a machloket Rav and Abaye, where Aloch was also like Abaye. And we said it wasn't like one of those. It wasn't a El Kagam. It was a machloket about what the Aloch was in Rabba. Remember that? And then we had a machloket, I think you actually picked it up, Robert. You said, is it not another answer to El Kagam? We saw machloket between Rav and Abaye, and the halacha seemed to be like Abaye, but it was halacha of what about the halacha in Rabbah. And we said, no, it's not El Kagam, because El Kagam would be when it's a machloket between the two of them. Yeah, they weren't arguing about the halacha, they were arguing about what Rabbah said the halacha was. Okay, so that was it. Why did it interest me? Because suddenly we see over here on this daf two important machlokot, Rav and Abaye. Now, we've also seen a klal that sometimes when the Gemara brings a machloket Amoraim, so it seems like the halacha is sometimes like the second Amora that it brings. So the first Amora, second Amora. So here, this is what interests me. Look here, Amar Abaye. Hi, man, demasik zuzer derivita bechavre. So a person who's owed money, demasik zuzer derivita bechavre, he owes a guy a ribbit, a zuz. And now, v'kaz dechita arba grive bezuzer beshukin. In the marketplace, a chitim is arba griv bezuz. You get whatever that measure of griv is, right? Grive, whatever that measure is, I don't know what the measure, but some sort of measure, you pay 4 griv for a zuz. So he owes him a zuz of ribbit, and the guy's a wheat seller in the market, that's the price. So he could give him a griv, and he would have paid off his ribbit. However, what did he do? Yaiv lei ihu chamisha. He gave him 4 griv. right? So he paid him off his ribbit now, but he paid him five, sorry, but he gave him an extra one. So now, first we see another halacha over here. Ki mafkinan mine. When we go and take the ribbit back. Now, who said we take the ribbit back? The machloket Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yochanan, remember? Rabbi Yochanan says, you don't pay the ribbit back. Rabbi Elazar said, you do. Here we see now, the halacha says, ki mafkinan. Look at Rashi. Ki mafkinan ribbit, shelakach, the very second narrow line. Kedir Rabbi Elazar, the amar ribbit, tzutze, yotze, bedayanim, the kaimblan, kevatei, lekaman. Okay, we see over this amud, halacha is paskin in the Gemara, like Rabbi Elazar, haladay. Right, Rabbi Lachamilazar.
That's unusual.
Very unusual. Now we see a Bamash Halacha Lemaise Neged Rabbi Yochanan, and the Gemara says it straight out. Agreed, 100%. So Halacha like Rabbi Lazar, that we take the money back if it was Ketzutze, right? It was Ribbit Doraita. So yeah, you can take it back. Now how much you take back? The Ribbit is owed as a Zuz. The marketplace is 4 grive for a Zuz. The guy threw in an extra grive. So the question is the ribbit 4 grive? Or is the ribbit 5 grive? Or was the 5th grive just a bonus? He threw it in, but actually the ribbit's 4 grive. So the Gemara says, V'yayiv le'ihu chamisha. V'kaz le'chita. Sorry, like mafkina mina, arba mafkina mina. That's what Abaya says. Ida chazulehu dekemozil gabe. And the 5th one was just a bonus. He gave him a cheaper, he was very nice. He gave him a discount. Now Abaya comes first, and Abaya is the chumra. Rabbi says no. Sorry. Abaya's lekula. Abaya says mafkina arba mafkina mine. We take 4 back, and the 4th one he keeps. Rabbi says, what are you talking about? Chamisha mafkina. We take it all 5 back. Why? The miikare b'torat ribita atay liyadei. When he gave it him, he intended to pay off his ribit. So he threw in all 5. That was the ribit. So all 5 is ribit. Take it all back. So that's the first machloket Abaya b'Rabba. Abaya came first, Rabba came second. Everything seems to work out well. Next halacha, Amar Abaya. Haiman demasik arba zuzei derivta b'chavre. Here's a guy who owes his friend a 4 zuz ribit. Doesn't give him money now, doesn't give him anything. He just gives him v'yayiv leh glimmer b'gavayu. He gives him one of his coats. Maybe it was a clothes merchant, or maybe a nice collection of clothes, or whatever the case is. Now, Mom, I've got a sister. One of my sisters, she used to steal clothes. Shana, my older sister, and she's exceptionally good salesman, but she would wear her stock, honestly. People would like get excited the way that she dressed, and she'd sell her jacket off her back. Someone would say, I like the cut, you want it? Yeah, she literally sell it off her back. So, he says over here, he gave him a glimmer, maybe the guy liked the jacket, so he said, you know what, are you the 4 zuz, take the jacket. So now, kimaf kidam, you know, we take the jacket back. Why? Because you owe him 4 zuz. And it was agreed up front, this is arba mafkinan mine. Glimmer of kinemina. Abaya says you take the 4 zuz, not the glimmer. So Abaya look kula derech here is being made. Look at Rashi. Glimmer of kinemina. Why? He says mikro kayam v'ksida ribit yachzil abalav. The coat is a good deal. He bought the coat from him, but you got to get back the ribit. The ribit's 4 zuz. Rabbi says no. Glimmer of kinemina. Take the coat back. Why? My time says a Gemara. Ki heichi de lo lame. People shouldn't say. Glimmer de machsei v'kayi. This guy is walking around wearing this jacket. Glimmer de ribitahu. Everyone sees it. It sticks around for a long time. Where he knows this is a jacket he got for ribit. Now, Amar Rava. Hai man de masik treisa zuzei derifte b'chavre. A guy owes a friend treisa zuzei. Right? B'chavre. He owes him 12 zuz of ribit. V'agale chatzar. Chatzar. Now, the guy who owes the ribbit, the borrower, rents out his yard to the lender. Right? V'agale chatzar. Now, listen to this. The mitagre basara, the market price, if you rent out that chatzar, can it say is 10 zuz for the year? V'ogre nihalei betreisar. He says to us, are you 12 zuz? Okay? You can have my chatzer, and we write off the 12 zuz. I don't owe you anything anymore. But now, if he had rented it on the open market to somebody else, it would only be for 10 zuz. Now, why does it suit both parties? Because the guy, the borrower, says, I owe the money anyhow, so what do I care? You know, I'm the money. I rented it. I have to actually lay out the cash. He can use my chatzer. So it suits him. Money stays in his pocket. The lender says to himself, look, if I'm going to chase the guy to find the money, he hasn't got the cash. Who knows how long it'll take? I need a chatzer. It's a big deal. Instead of it costing me 10, it's going to cost me 12. I'm not laying out the money. I'm just writing off a debt. So they're both happy. Right? Makes sense. We can all relate to that. So now, ki mafkina mine, now, come to Beitis. You can't charge a guy, can't charge the guy a ribbit. So now, what happens? It's a year after the fact. He used the chatzer for a year. Chachamim say, listen, mister, he owed you 12 zuz. And he paid you 12 zuz. How? By renting you his chatzer for free. Pay him back the 12 zuz. So he said, what are you talking about? The chatzer wasn't worth 12 zuz. The chatzer at the best was worth 10 zuz. Why am I paying you back 12 zuz? Okay, God says, ki mafkina mine, trace some mafkina mine. So Amar Rav Acham Rediv to Ravina. So Rav Acham Rediv said to Ravina, I don't understand. Velei melei, why doesn't the lender say to Beitin, ki agrahachi davaka mishtar shili? I was happy to do this deal. Look at Rashi. I was happy to do it. Why? Because I was benefiting. How was I benefiting? I was writing off a debt. The guy wasn't going to pay me. So he paid me to take it at 12. But now that I'm not benefiting, now I see actually in the end I've got to pay for the rental. Kadagre kulabu dagre. Charge me the price the whole world would pay. Why are you making me? Only rent? The true value was 10, not 12. So at best case scenario, the guy owed me 12 ribbit, 12 zuz ribbit. I got 10 back. And in theory, he still owes me the 2. So I write off the 2, but I'll pay him back the 10. Everybody with me? Right? Mishul Damalei, so the Gemara says, no, so he says to him, right, so this is Rav Acham Mitzvah Rav Ravina. He says, what are you talking about? He pays back 12. Mishul Damalei, Savart Vekibalt. The agreement was that he was getting the Chatzir for 12. He was happy to overpay for the Chatzir to write off his debt, but in actual fact, he was getting ribbit. He recognized he was getting ribbit. That he's probably going to pay back the whole 12. So you see a situation over here where not only do we make him pay the ribbit back, but the guy rented out the chatzir, at the best scenario, would have got 10, ends up getting all the 12 back. Right? I thought it's a bit of like a bit of a sweet revenge sort of story over here. Right? Where you thought you're going to get ribbit out of me, in the end, he ended up paying back. But when I saw all these abayas and rabbis over here, and then rabbi the last one, I thought maybe that locha could be like a bay in one of the other two, but it's not connected at all. So it's still nice to see the whole context. Okay, we did a bit of chazor in Yaokah Gam as well. And we finished the next Mishnah. The Mishnah goes on and says, Marbin al-Sakhar, this is interesting. Marbin al-Sakhar. So if you rent somebody something, or if you rent him a property, you can charge him more if he's going to pay you. Look at Rashi over here. Marbin al-Sakhar, b'schar hamtanat ma'ot haschirut. So if you rent a guy something, you said if he pays you up the whole rental, annual rental in advance, it's going to be 50, or let's say 10, and instead of him, but he can he pays you monthly, he can pay you 12, right? Like one a month. Okay? You got that? That's on a rental. But if you sell somebody something, there you can't charge more for terms of payment. Like if it's a lay-by or something like that. Look at Rashi. But if you're selling something, you can't charge him, you can't give him terms and charge him more. So if you pay me cash, it's going to be one price. If you pay me over terms, it's going to be a different price. So Gemara says, and the Mishnah says, Kaitzad, Hiskilu et chatzero v'amar lo ime achshav atan lo ten li harei hu lecha v'eses laim. I'm renting you my yard, my field. If you pay me now in advance, it's going to cost you 10 slaim l'shala for a year. V'im shel chodesh b'chodesh, if you're going to pay me monthly, sell it l'chodesh. Pay me monthly a seller. So how much does that work out? 10 up front or sell a percentage, 12, right? You pay 12, you get 20%. Mutar. That's mutar. On the other hand, right? Right, you sold him your field. You said to him, if you pay me now in advance, you're going to pay you 1,000 zuz, cash price, take it now. V'im la gorin, but if you're going to wait for the gorin, Rashi says, V'im la hamtin la cha'ada gorin shetim kora tvuatcha, v'titen limata, if you're going to wait till the harvest season, when you're going to already get the harvest, and you're going to get the money, because you're going to have harvested the field, and you're going to have cash, you want to pay me then, b'shnei masar mane asur. So shnei masar mane is basically 12,000 zuz. So it's 1,000 zuz, if you 1,200 zuz. It's 1,000 zuz if you pay me now, and it's an extra 200 zuz if you want to wait. That's asur. So Gemara says, everybody with me? Clear, right? Straightforward. Mashna Reisha, Mashna Seifa. Why is the Reisha the schar you're allowed and the Seifa you can't, and the setting you can't? Rabbi Rav Yosef, Rabbi Tabayus, so both Rabbi and Rav Yosef agree over here. The reason is why, right? We're going to see this Gemara in a couple of daf's time, right? Schirut eina mishtarim eina basof. The word says, you know what? In reality, rental, when is rental due? Now, all of us have rented in our lives. When do you pay rent? Do you pay rent on the first of the month? When you move in, forget about the deposit, the security deposit which you give up front. But when you rent a place, you pay at the end of the month, right? Your first month, you're in the place, and you pay rent on the first of the following month for last month. No one pays rent in advance. Clifford's disagreeing with me. I think because you had a fancy shave there, now you can...
up front as well, I agree, up front.
You send out the invoices on the 30th of April for May.
Right, but think about it. But in reality, when you move in, your first month, when you move into your new office, do you come to the guy and pay him on the first? Let's say your rental starts on January the 1st. Do you pay him on the 1st of January for January, or you pay him the 1st of February for January?
1st of January.
Steve? Maybe I've got it all wrong, man. What do you, Steve? What do we do, Steve? Huh?
Been a long time since you rented.
No, but I rent. I get paid. I'm obviously, I don't know what I'm doing.
Someone else writes your checks.
Someone else, I'm asking, Steve, what do we do?
Thanks for getting a good deal.
Steve?
In advance,
really? Okay, yeah. Gee whiz. It seems so obvious to me that it was in arrears. Okay, I take it all back. Okay, well, that's not a... Well, the Gemara seems to understand it differently. It's even a pasuk to support it. Wow, it made so much sense to you.
You're getting paid twice.
Eh? Is that a mamash? Do we get paid in advance? For rental, you pay in advance? You don't pay in arrears?
Always.
So maybe I'm confusing with salaries. Okay, it seemed to me to make so much sense. Okay, very good. All right, so I was wrong. Okay, well, the Gemara seems like it's mashed as Rabbi and Rav Yosef. Why? Could they say schirut and mishtem eina basof? They say rent will be paid in arrears. V'hai kevan delo matas mane lemigva lav agar natale. He says, and since the time isn't arrived yet to pay, when you're renting the place up front, isn't due yet to pay you, only meant to pay you in arrears. So therefore, he says, there's no interest over here. The fact that he paid you late, they paid you more in arrears, is how it should be. Right? As mashvahu dahachi shavya, then that's really the value. V'had dekamalei me'achshav atan otendin, and when he says to you, if you pay me in advance, me'achshav atan otendin, harei hu lecha be'eses laim l'shana, ozulehu dekamozil gabay. He says, actually, it's a discount. One of Rabbi Yosef says, any other guys that need to pay you in arrears. So therefore, the real value is what he pays you over the year. The fact that you're giving him a discount if he pays you in advance doesn't mean that if he doesn't pay you in advance, he pays you in arrears. You're charging him interest. The real value, says Rabbi Rav Yosef, is the arrears payment. It's the advance, it's a discount. And that's not called interest. Okay, now, I thought it made so much sense to me last night when I read this Gemara. I thought that's how we do it. But okay, I'm wrong. I'm not going to argue. Safer, and the safer on the other way around. So why is the safer asur? Says Kevin Desvina Ninu Bai Le Mishkal Dame Me Achshav, and we're on the other hand. He said, when you buy something, then everybody knows you pay in advance if you want to take ownership. Hilchach Aganatalehu. Therefore, if you give the guy time to pay, that's not the way it's meant to be. He's meant to pay now. Never mind giving him terms. That's proper ribbit. You're charging him money for paying you late. So that is what Rabbi and Rav Yosef say. I'm a Rava. He says, Daku bei Rabbanan Bahamilta. Rabbanan went and checked out this whole story. They found a pasuk. They found a pasuk. It persuaded me. Right? They found a pasuk. What's the pasuk say? Kesachir shana b'shana. The pasuk over here says, it's a pasuk in Vayikra. Kesachir shana b'shana yeimo lo yudenu b'farich lelecha. Kesachir, like a worker. Right? Shana b'shana. Year from year. Meaning he gets paid in advance, in arrears. Zo ene mishlem, ene b'shana acheret. He gets paid the following year. So maybe they're taking wages here and they're comparing wages to rental. Okay? Anyhow, that was their reasoning and that was how they wanted to paskin halacha. And that seems to be what the Mishnah says. So now the Gemara depicts on the Mishnah, the Gorin, b'shnemasar mani asu. On the other hand, if you sold it, and you said to him, pay me now the money, if you pay me only when the produce is ready, you're going to pay more, that's asu, that's ribit. I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says like this, listen to this. Now we've seen, up until now at least, that Rav Nachman was pretty machmir with all these things. Rav Nachman here comes and paskins a big kula on Tarsha. Now, Tarsha, right, Rashi says like this, Tarsha Shari, Limkor Schora Bahamtana, right, you sell something on credit, but you're ter midamea, and you get paid more because you need that credit, will be avad, shlo yefaresh lo ime achshav rehu lecha bepachot. As long as you don't specify that if he paid you now, he'd pay you less. You said those are the conditions from the outset. You don't say, listen, if you pay me now, this is the cash price. If you pay me later, you'll pay more. You said to the guy, listen, this is my sales terms. You pay me off at the end of the day, whatever the case is, and this is the price. If the guy said to you, how much would it be if I paid you now? If I get a discount, then you can say, you get a discount. But then you're giving him a discount. You aren't charging him for Hamtana. That is what Rav Nachman says. He says, Tarsha Shari. Now, I saw that Tarsha is translated as tacit interest. How's the art scroll translated?
It says Tarsha, but it says in the note that the word literally means dumb. Tarsha sale, the parties are dumb about the rebate.
They don't specify, they don't discuss it in detail, like what Rashi says. Okay, but I saw an English translation somewhere, I don't know where I saw it. I was on my iPhone. So I probably looked up probably the Korean English. Who's got a Korean English there? Anybody got a Korean English there? Steinzahl. What does Steinzahl say?
Tacit.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. Okay. So Rabbi Nachman, Tarsha Shari. He says, tacit interest. So that's right. 80 verse. And now he says, Rabbi Nachman says, Shari. Right? So Rabbi Nachman says, Shari. And we saw Rashi explain what he means there. Like, it's like dumb. But there's no, they don't discuss anything, right? So 80 Rabbi Rachaman, Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Rachaman also Kash Rabbi Nachman. Some say, Wait, someone's got a noise there. Please, your microphones. There's noise coming from somewhere. Okay. So, he said, but doesn't our Mishnah say, if you're selling it to him and you're charging him more because you're giving him time, it's asur from our Mishnah. So, Amalei said, no, it's not the same at all, says Rav Nachman. Hatam, Keitzlei. There was a set demand. That's ribit ktsutza. Right? Look at Rashi. Imme achshav arehu lecha bepachot. Behedya parish leid escharam ta'od. Said, no, there he said to him, if you pay me now, this is the price. If you want terms, you can pay later. Hachelo katsa. Yeah, I didn't say anything. Yeah, I just kept quiet. So that is Rav Nachman's story. Rav Papa, same idea. Rav Papa says, Tarsha didi. He says, my condition. Look at Rashi. Tarsha didi shari. Right, what about Rav Nachman's story? So Rashi falls in the gap. So Rav Papa was Seshechar Tamari Baye. He used to make a date beer. Umochelo bezman azo, and he would sell it in the cheap season. Right before it was really, before it was even matured and ready for drinking. But Tishrei, right? So he'd sell it during the Tishrei months. That's the winter months. Keshar shel Nisan, like if for the summer months period. Umamtin lo ad Nisan. So he'd sell it to the guy now in Tishrei, and he'd charge him the full price what it would be worth in Nissan. So in the summer months, that's when there's big demand for it. And he gets the month, but you only pay in Nissan. But he already in Tishrei, he sets the price, and he gives it him on credit, and you can pay me in Nissan, but he charges the higher price already for Nissan. So that is Rav Papa. My timer. So he's, look what Rav Papa says. It's interesting to see the psychology over here. Right? He says like this, was it mutar? He says, Shichrai lo pasid zuzi. It says, lo pasid. He says, firstly, my stuff. Look at Rashi. Enumit kalkel vayiti achol latsnir ad Nisan. That won't go bad. My good quality stuff. And I could have kept it myself until Nisan. Number one. Number two, zuzi lo tshichna. I don't need the money. Look at Rashi. Shani ashir. Rich guy. Not short of cash. Va'eni dachuk limkor keshashach. I've got no pressure now to sell cheap. Right? So Anahu, on the contrary, he says, Anahu de kavidna milta gabelokech, I'm doing the guy a favor. I'm enabling him to buy my produce now, before it sells out, and I'm not charging him, I don't need the money, won't go bad. There's no chashash over here or anything going rotten. There's no risk involved. On the contrary, I'm doing him a favor. I'm allowing him the opportunity to buy my stuff. He's getting it now. And instead of waiting until Nissan, when he pay me the Nissan in here at the Nissan price, he's going to pay me Nissan at the Nissan price, and he's taking it now. So where's the ribbit? So Amar Rav Sheshet, Brei Rav Ida Rav Papa. So Rav Sheshet, Brei Rav Ida says to Rav Papa, my chaze mardek aslat bat adidach. Why are you looking at it from your perspective? From your perspective, you aren't doing the guy, you aren't charging him ribbit. On the contrary, you're doing him a favor. He says, bat zil bat adidach. Look from his perspective. If he had the cash, he would have bought it now and paid you the money now. Now in Tisha would have been cheaper. Right? Hashta the late lehu zuze, but you might be a rich guy, Rav Papa. He's not a rich guy. He hasn't got the money. So he hasn't got it. So who? Shakle keyokra delak delikme. So he, on the contrary, he says he is buying it from you now. That he's happy to pay you more in this because he hasn't got the money. So from his point of view, he's paying you a ribbit. So how come from your point of view it's not ribbit? Look, from his point of view, it is ribbit. Now, it doesn't make sense because the Gemara leaves it over here. It doesn't answer, but it seems like the halacha is actually like Rav Sheshet, Brei Rav Idi. Somebody got a halacha there? I'm just looking where the letter is. Zil Batar Didu. It seems over here that the halacha is mamish like not like Rav Papa, but like it's not like Rav Papa, eh? Like Rav Sheshet, yeah, it seems like that. See, Rav Papa was saying, what am I charging? I'm going to charge you. I don't need the money, right?
Paying the higher price in Tishrei, paying the higher Nissan price in Tishrei.
Would be ribbit. Even though Rav Papa says it's not, it would be ribbit. It would be considered ribbit. Halacha Lemaaseh, Rav Papa is saying, listen, I'm charging you the higher. And let's say that in Tishrei it's worth 10. And if you wait till Nissan, when that's when the market prices are to be 15, pay me 15. Take it now. But only pay me in Nissan. If he had waited on Nissan, he'd buy it for Nissan for 15. If he had money, Rav Sheshet saying to him, if the guy had money, he'd go somewhere else and buy from somebody else for 10. Why is he buying it from you now and paying 15 in Nissan? Because he hasn't got the money. So you're getting, it's aganata. You basically, he's paying you more because you gave him terms. Rav Papa says, no, I'm not giving him terms. On the contrary, I'm doing him a favor. I'm letting him buy my produce, which is good produce, and pay me only out of the money. So it's not like I'm happy not to get the money and I'm doing him a favor. My goods are goods. So I said, no, look, from his point of view, bottom line is he paid you more to only pay you in Nissan. Another one.
That rebate, or it's just like not being nice?
Well, I think it's midrabanan. It's I've cut you a bit because at the end of the day, when someone looks at it, the guy is getting terms and he's paying you a higher price to get the terms. And that's that. Contributes itself to ribbit. Rav Papa thinks he's being a nice guy. He thinks that his produce is so good. That's what he says. Look, he says, with my produce, he says, lo pasit, anamit kalkel. I could have kept it, and I don't need the money. So if you tell me not to do it, I'll just stick it in my seller, and in Nissan, I'll sell it at the same price. I'm not getting you. Rav Papa says, I'm not getting any more than I would have got if I waited till Nissan. He says, that's all very nice, Rav Papa. From the guy's point of view, if he had the money now, he'd go find someone to sell it for 10. He can't find someone to sell it for 10. He hasn't got the money. So he's got his only option is to buy from you at the Nissan price. That's ribbit. It's not ribbit. It's all tarsha. That's what I'm saying. It's like tested ribbit. It's all, it's a durabanan. Yeah. It's not a duraita. It's not a duraita. I'm Rav Chama, tarsha didi. Rav Chama says, tarsha didi vadai shari. Rav Chama says, my version is definitely mutar. And this seems to be aloha as well. Right now, what's my version? Because Rashi, the Gemara says my timer. So he says nicheleu. Look, Rashi explains what's going on over here. Rav Chama, even if you don't normally follow in the Rashi, follow because this is really basically Gemara. Rashi filled in the Gemara here. It's the last Rashi in the narrow lines before we get to the very last line. So it's about 10 lines of Rashi here. Rashi says that Rav Chama was mocher prakmatia. He was a trader. He sold goods. Mocher makom azol, and he sold in the place. Let's say he lived in China. Okay, where everything's cheap, and our guys import from China, they take it to the West, and they sell in the West at expensive prices. Okay, so for our purposes, he was the Chinaman of their day, and I don't think that's relevant today anymore, but let's say he's the Vietnamese of their day today, okay? Whatever, doesn't matter, you know what I mean? Right? But he sold the Makom Azol, so he was in an industrial area where everything was cheap, and he sold it, though, Keshar Shu Nimkar Makom Ayoker. anybody sold it at the prices that it was sold, if they would buy it in an expensive city. But he was happy to give them terms. So they'd go to places where they could sell it for even more expensive. Right? Listen to this. Now, on all the way there, it was until they got to their markets where they would sell, he took upon himself the achrayut. See, if it would get stolen, it would get broken, it would go off, something would be damaged, they wouldn't have to pay. All the way to the market, they wouldn't have to pay. Valukuchot mistakrim bepragmatika, shelokhin sham bema'otav, and then they'd make a profit there, umevi'in lekan, and they now come back to him to pay, va'achrayut achazara aleihem. And now, once the goods have been sold, it's their responsibility. So it's like, you know, when you ship something, you can have like FOB or CIF, you know, you can have all different rates where sometimes you ship something and the seller takes upon himself right to the door, or sometimes the buyer takes it from the moment it's on board the ship. Basically, he sells it to them. He takes responsibility all the way till it gets to their destination. Once they sell it, it's their responsibility. So once they've sold it, the money now in their hands, they've got to pay him. So going there, he's responsible. Coming back, they're responsible. That's a fair deal, let's be honest. He covered them all the way till they sold. The kevan delo mekabli alayu achrayut says, since they haven't got any responsibility for these goods until they arrive in their port of destination, lo havia milve gabayu. It's not a loan. Alcha pragmatika nimkeret. So really, until they've sold it, who did it belong to? It belonged to Rav Chama. So when did Rav Chama really make the sale? Where did they become liable? Only after they sold it. And where did they sell it? In the expensive city. So the fact that he was charging them the expensive price makes sense to him. Because look, until they get to the expensive city, I'm responsible. So they're only really buying it from me when they arrive in the expensive city. So therefore, I can charge them the expensive city price. The fact that they were the transporters, that's really his only benefit. He has the transport cost, right? Because they're doing the transport. V'hein mekabli namaot, they get the money. V'otan amaot, nasa leh milve, v'ein kan ribit. It's on that money now. When they get the money, they owe me the money. And there, I never charged them ribit because they had already sold it. They already made money off my money. Everybody with me? Clear? Okay. So Amar Rav Chama Tashi Vadajari. So my time, he says, Nichelehu. It's convenient for these guys. Why? Deliku Bishuti, because it's in my Rishut. I own it all the time. The Kol Hechad Dekazle, Shavkelehu. Listen to this. He says, but there's more than that. He says, there's more. He says, there's more advantages than just. Than just the fact they're getting my cover. He says, because the Kaazle Shavkelehu Michsa. Right, look at Rashi. Oh, there's no Rashi here. Shavkelehu Michsa, the tax guys are leaving them alone. Right? Venakot Lehu Shavka. Look at Rashi here. Venakotle Shavka. Machrizin Shaloya Adam Rashailim Kor Achim Kruheim. There seems a bit of protection being involved over here as well. They get exclusivity. Right, Rav Chama was an important guy, right? And therefore, the tax guys aren't going to bother them. And they've got exclusivity on the market, right? He obviously was an important guy. Somebody found me a note over here. Rav Chama must have been an important guy.
The note here says, and maybe it comes from Rashi, I don't know.
No, it's not Rashi. That's what I'm looking.
It says that because they got the privileges normally accorded to Talmidei Chachamim.
It's in Stein's out, he brings the following.
Yeah.
And Rav Chama was a Babylonian Amora from the fourth and fifth generation of Amoraim. Apparently, Rav Chama was primarily a student of Rav, although he may have studied with Rav's teachers as well. Towards the end of his life, Rav Chama served for 15 years as head of the academy in the center of Nahar Adar. In addition to his role in the academy, he served as the Jewish community's representative in meeting with King Shapur.
Okay, so there we are. So that's like we saw the same thing with Rav Huna. Rav Huna, we said that he came from he was family of the Nasi. Therefore, he had contacts. Okay, so what Steve's saying is he He was a representative. He had contacts in the government. If you did business with Rav Chama, they would leave you alone.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's Rav Chama said. It's not interest. On the contrary, the guys are all they're getting all the benefits from me. Okay? So that's it. Now, the Gemara Paskas Alocha.
Tax credits as well,
but I don't know about tax credits. It seems like the tax authorities wouldn't bother him on the when they crossed the borders or whatever the case was. The Hilchot and the Gemara say Alocha is like Rav Chama, so this is okay. Dichot the Rabbi Elazar, like we started at the very beginning. Look at Rashi. The Ribit Ketzutza Yotze B'Dayanin from Samach Aleph. We learned in Samach Aleph Amud Bet. And Hilchot the Rabbi Yanai, the Amar Mali Heinu Mali. Rabbi Yanai said, it doesn't make a difference if you're paying the guy in goods, you're paying him in money, you're paying him in money, you're paying him in goods. What's the difference? It's all the same story. Alocha Pasch, Alocha V'Yan, like we saw mentioned at the very beginning of the Shir, against Rabbi Yochanan with Rabbi Elazar, right? That Ribit Ketzutza, the Dayanim can take it back. Okay, so that's quickly. Let's try and finish the stuff. Okay, Mat need new Mishnah. Machalo tasare v'natanlo miktzat damim v'amarlo. So a guy sells a field, and the guy pays him a bit of the money up front. And then he says to him, Amatashe tirtze have ma'ot v'tolet shelcha. Whenever you want, you can pay me the balance of the money, and then you get the field. Right? So this is asur. Why is that asur? Right? He says, we'll see, look at Rashi. Why is that asur? La'asot kent v'dafke da'amarle. And specifically when he said to him that, l'chi maitit motar hamad kenem yachshav. Rashi adds in here something which is missing. He says, why is that asur? Because he says that it's specific when he says to him, when you bring me the money, it's sold to you from now. In other words, retroactively. Okay, it's already sold retroactively. L'fichach asur la'asot kent asur washim yochal mocher perot betoch kach. Because if the seller is busy eating the fruits in the meantime, he's busy eating. Right? When the guy does bring the money, retroactively the field was sold. And now it means the seller is busy eating the fruits all the time. The field gets sold retroactively. It means that it turns out he was eating fruits of the guy who was already had bought it, but hadn't paid him yet. And it turns out that what he was eating was ribit. His benefits of the fields were actually ribit. On the other hand, if the buyer eats it, lokeach perot me'achshav, starts eating the fruits already now, shem lo yavi motar amaot, he might never bring the food and the rest of the money. V'yachzor lo zeh ma shekibel, and now the seller is going to refund the money that he paid up front, the deposit to the buyer. V'nimtze shelo yata sadeh k'nei, turns out it was never actually a sale to begin with. V'dahalechi maitit kane me'achshav amarle, what's happening? Two problems over here. There are two scenarios, says Rashi. If you tell the guy, pay me a deposit up front, and when you come and pay me the balance, the field's yours from today. If the seller starts eating the fruits and getting benefits of the field, and the guy does pay, so really it turns out that the field belonged to the buyer from day one. And in the meantime, the seller was getting benefits on the field. Why? That's interest. Why? Until he got paid the money. If the buyer doesn't pay the money and he starts benefiting from the field from day one, and he refunds and then in the end he says, look, I came with me, I can't pay you. And then the seller ends up paying him back the money. It turns out that the money was really just a loan by him, right? It was just a loan by him. And he had lent the seller money. And he was benefiting from the field during the time of that loan. That was interest. He was getting ribbit on the loan. So that case. Everybody got it? Is that clear that? Okay, we're starting to run late. Okay, clear. So that's asu. On the other hand, hilvau al sadehu, he lent him money on a field as a security. Vamarlo im iatano teni mikan v'achi shaloshanim harehi sheli. He lends God money and he says, listen, you owe me this money. I'm taking a mortgage on your field. If you don't pay back the next year, I'm taking your field. Now, the field might be worth much more than the loan. Right? Arehi shelo. It's a good deal. We saw Baitus ben Zurin the other day, right? He was a guy, obviously a big trader. Chamin quoted him. So, yeah, it shows you. If you got a mortgage on the property, it's 50% of the price. And I said, if you don't pay back in 3 years, I'll take this field away. It's okay. That's not called ribit. Okay, that's cool. Okay, let's read the Gemara. So now, the Gemara stuck is mi ochel perot. What's the question? In this first case over here, when we sold the field, the guy paid you a deposit up front. Who eats the fruit? Rav Huna Amar Mocher Ochel Peiro. Rav Huna says, if the Siddiq eat the fruit, Rav Anan Amar Mishal Shinita Peiro. Rav Anan says, no. You put the payrot, all the benefit, all that goes to a third party, and you wait and you see what happens. Does that guy pay? Doesn't the guy pay you? And the Gemara says, "Velo pligi." It's not really a machloket. It's just an explanation. The one opinion we've come, Rashi said, we're talking about when you said miachsha, from now, retroactively, it's a done deal. The Gemara says, actually, machloket between Rav Huna and Rav Huna, a lot of machloket. It would depend on the terms. The one who says, one is talking about when you actually say you only get the field when you pay the money. So, had amalei dechimaitit kani miachsha. And one says, no, when it's from now. So Rav Anan, who says you put it with a third party, would say that if you're going to tell me that it's retroactive, then you, none of you can touch the foods. Because like we saw that problem in the Mishnah. If the seller eats it, so then he might be ribbit if the guy pays. If the buyer eats it, it might be ribbit if he doesn't pay. Right? So give it a third party. And what Rav Huna said, that you that the seller can eat it, is when he says you only get ownership when you bring the balance of the money. He was telling Rav Safra Beribit the Bay Ribichia Pamim then Rabbi Safra quotes a brighter of Ribit Rabichia. Explains this brighter expanding on our Mishnah. He said like this Pamim Sheshneh Mutarim. Sometimes both the buyer and the seller can eat. Pamim Sheshneh Masrin. Sometimes neither the buyer neither the seller can eat. Upamim Shamoche Mutar. Sometimes the seller can eat the fruits. Lokach Ashun, the buyer can't. Upamim Shalokach Mutar Moche Ashun. Sometimes the buyer can and the seller can't. So he says, it depends. It's not so straightforward. It will depend on the scenario. Sometimes they could both eat. Sometimes neither of them can eat. Sometimes one of them can eat and one of them can't eat. So Ani Rabba Batrei. So Rava, I think Rashi mentioned Avia Misvara. I'm rushing through the Rashi's Avia. Is there no Rashi Avia that says Svara? I thought I saw Rashi that said from a Svara, that he answered from Svara. Like, I don't know where I saw that. So Ani Rabbi Batrei. So Rabbi explains what's going on here. Pa'amim sheshneh mutarin. Sometimes we mutar that they can both eat. How could they both be able to eat it? The amalei. If the deal was, kani kashir zuzeh. Because you know what? You give me a deposit up front. The amount of that deposit is yours. So let's say the field's worth $1 million and he gives him 100,000. 10% of the field is yours already. Right? So therefore, 10% of the produce the guy can eat. It'll be okay. Pa'amim sheshneh masarin. And sometimes neither of them can eat. So yeah, but they could both eat. Why? The buyer could eat 10% of the produce and the seller could eat 90% of the produce. Sometimes neither of them can eat. What is that? Like we saw, you're going to buy it retroactively. Because then none of you can eat because we've got a problem we mentioned in the Mishnah. That if the buyer, if the seller eats, it could be ribbit if he pays now. And the buyer eats, it could be if he doesn't pay. Correct? That's clear. Sometimes the seller can eat the buyer. Why? Like he said, when you pay the money, that was like Rav Ani. That was like Rav Anan in the Mishnah, Rakun in the Mishnah, right? He's in the Gemara. He says, when you pay the money, you buy it from then. So up until now, the seller can eat, not yours. And Pamim Shalokach Mutar. And the Mocha Asu, what would that be? That the buyer can't, that the buyer can, the seller can't eat. The Amalei Kani Me'achshav. You can buy it from now retroactively. Vezuzai Lihavu Halva'a Gabach. In other words, you actually already own it from now. And the balance that you owe me, I'm giving you as a loan. So now the buyer owns the field, correct? He's got a loan on the balance. So the Gemara says, Ma'an Tana Shnei Masurin. So the Gemara wants to know, who would be the Tana who would tell us that both of them are Asurin, neither the buyer nor the seller? Now remember how Rashi explained the Mishnah very carefully. Rashi the Mishnah that the buyer and the seller can't eat. Why? Because there's a chance in either direction it could be ribbit. Right? Remember Rav Yehuda? Remember Rav Yehuda early on in the Gemara? It was Amrav Huna, Barad Rabbi Yeshua, the Loka Rabbi Yehuda, definitely not Rabbi Yehuda. Why not Rabbi Yehuda? The Rabbi Yehuda had Amar, Tzadichad Ribit Mutar. Remember, Yehuda said that it's Mutar if it's only a possibility that there'll be Ribit, if there's no guarantee it will be Ribit. Now, here, both vis a vis the buyer or the seller, it's only a possibility. How would it be Ribit the seller if in the end the buyer paid? How do we read for the buyer if in the end he didn't pay? Now, the buyer might pay, so it wouldn't be for the seller. The buyer might not pay, so it wouldn't be for the seller. The buyer might pay, so it wouldn't be for the buyer. So in the case of that, Yehuda said Mutar. So, come here, Yehuda. Another case. You got a few minutes to quickly, can push on? Everybody got a few minutes? Yeah, everyone's got to go to shul, got a shul, but that's quick. Mishkenlo, buy Mishkenlo Sade. A guy mortgaged the house to him or mortgaged the field. And he said to him, Lotim Kremelali. But Dami Malalu. So what's going on over here now? A little bit more complicated. A guy mortgages a field to somebody, and the lender says to the buyer, listen, I'm lending you now 1,000 shekels. If you only want to mortgage your field, if you decide you want to sell this field, you only sell it to me. And they agree now. Look at Rashi. But damim halalu. The third wild line Rashi at the bottom. Pasak lo damim muatim lo siflo ama ota alva'al hatzmitalo im balumcha. If you decide you want to sell it, I'll write off your loan and I'll pay you an X amount, a small amount, as a bonus, and you can only sell to me. That says Asur. There says the Gemara Asur. Why? Because it was a small amount. If you say to him, Beshovyan, whatever the market price is, the time I'll pay you, that's Mutar. So once again, Man Tana Bedam Malalu Asur. Who's the guy who says that if I fix the small amount now, it's Asur to do a deal like that? I'm Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yishua, Delok, Kom Rav Huna. Why do Rav Huna? How much Tzad Echad Ribit Mutar? Because Rav Huna says it's Tzad Echad Mutar. Why Tzad Echad? Because the guy might never want to sell. If he's never going to sell, it's not going to become a problem. So if he decides to sell, become a problem. That's what he said. Look at Rashi over here. Tzad Echad, look at Rashi. Hi, Manami deal me lo atli day ribit. It might have become ribit. The law yirtzeh lemoch. He might not want to sell it lolam. Rabbi Yehuda, if yirtzeh lemoch, mutar leze lekabla bedamin shepasak temitchilat hatnai, tzad echad hu dehavi because Rabbi Yehuda says it's only a possibility. Whereas this agreement isn't a vadai ribit tzutza. Because the guy might never want to sell. So if he wants to sell, okay, but he might not want to sell. We haven't decided now he's selling. Only if he decides now he's selling at the end of 3 years, I'm going to pay you a certain little bit amount, then it would be seen as ribit. If the option's on the seller that if he wants to sell, he can sell, that wouldn't be called Rabbi Yehuda. Now, I would say a little bit difficult. The whole discussion is if he decides to sell. If he decides to sell, it's definitely going to be ribit. Rabbi Yehuda says no, because he might not want to sell. In other words, as long as it's not a done deal now, it wouldn't be ribit. Let's quickly move it one more time. Machalo bait, machalo sadeva, malo kishayuli ma o techzirumli. The guy sells a guy a house or a field, says, when I've got money, I want you to repay me the house. That's Asur. Why? Because that's a loan, really. If the seller has got a call on the buyer that he has to refund it to you when you got money, that's not called a sale. That's called a loan. However, if he says, ma'ot, but if the buyer says, you know what, when you got money, if you want, I'm happy to send it back to you, that would be mutar. Look at Rashi, the second very wide lines of Rashi. The buyer, his own volition said it, that's mutar. We'll come in first time, we'll carry that tomorrow. Let's stop over here.